T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
UGA, Oklahoma.
Nomo 33333.
Let's take it to the field.
We champion.
We gotta prevent the band.
We champion.
The Rose Bowl, New Year's Day. Dog Nation, it's on. WCGC Atlanta and WCGC HD1.
An Intercom communication station.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9.
Once you get started, it's hard to stop.
It's 12 noon ATL.
Real talk alert.
Rick Kamla and John Michaels on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, it is Rivalry Thursday as we come to you live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come on up here and hang out with us, y'all. We won't bite, and you're going to bite on some fantastic food at 2475 George Busby Parkway Northwest. It is I-75 North Barrett Parkway, and you will see it right there. Rick and John hanging and banging and having a good time. And we want to generate some Saints hate right now. And we got to shout out a couple of guys here, John, Gary and Blake. And we just talked to Gary, who was talking about ticket prices back in the day relative to now. But the most important thing he did was tell us how much he loves Mark Owens.
Sounds like a damn good person. Give him, you know what? Hey, Rick, do me a favor. Go ahead and pick up his tab today, and I'll get you back.
Okay. Gary here. And Gary was wearing an old school, like, corduroy
smoking jacket
with black lapels and, red main colors.
Please
so,
tell me he
very
had...
Very Georgia Bulldoggy. Tell
me he had elbow patches.
No, I don't believe patches.
I don't believe there were elbow patches.
No, there is not.
No elbow patches.
Yeah, Richard Mann is doing some investigation.
Rick, go ahead, man. Go ahead and buy that guy. You know what? Get him some dinner to go to. Just put it on the Kamala tab. And
why aren't you asking John to pick up Gary's?
Because I know your net worth.
After Christmas shopping last night, my bank account goes, really? That's all it says. Like, there's not a number. It just says really.
With three question marks, right?
Like, dude, you're not getting it. We do get paid tomorrow, don't we?
So is Mark, are you even going to reimburse me, or am I just buying a meal for Gary that I say is from you, but in fact it's from me?
Do the right thing, Rick.
Yep.
Do the right thing.
I love it. All right, here's what I want to do to stoke up the Saints hate. John, I vetted this bit. I got to vet it with somebody. I vetted this with the preacher, man, and he said, yes, let's do it. All right, John, so let's play a little game. Hit up what we got, some like Christmas Zydeco going on right now. Yeah, let's go right there.
This is our go-to game show.
It really is.
What game show was this?
Match game, 1975.
Something involving porn, I think. I'm not sure.
Was this a dating game?
No, 1975 match game.
And Bachelorette number one.
Match game, right?
Match game?
Yeah, I think it's a match game.
That's it.
All right, John, we're going to play a little game of what do you hate more?
Oh, no. Okay.
This is a game of what or who do you hate more for the one and only John Michaels. John. Who do you hate more, the Saints or the Patriots?
It's the Saints. It's the Saints. We play them twice a year, and I've literally had people in New Orleans, much like recruits, send me tweets and go, you better not ever show up in New Orleans because of the Saints songs.
Yeah.
Those go back to the old station. Oren used to help me out with some Saints songs. We just kept making them to when the Saints go marching in. There was one year the Saints started 0-6, so every week it was, when the Saints go 0-5. And it got picked up by New Orleans station. I got a lot of hate from them. So you know what? Outside of my immediate family that I've married into, I don't particularly care for going down there. So, no, it's the Saints.
Okay.
I don't like the Patriots either, but the Saints, we got to see those clowns twice a year.
All right, so, Saints or Patriots, you're going with the Saints. We're playing a little game here from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Join along if you want. Who or what does John Michaels hate more, the Saints or Virginia Tech?
Ooh. I'm still going to go with the Saints on this one because the Saints are more relevant than Virginia Tech's ever been.
So,
you know, Virginia Tech lived off beating bad Miami teams and tried to talk about it. And I go, dude, you beat Al Golden. Boston College beat Al Golden. you know, Cincinnati beat Al Golden. It doesn't really mean anything. Go back in your little 10-2 or, you know, 9-3 hole where you belong. But I hate the Saints worse. Because, again, I lost a bet to a Saints fan. You know, much like we had our guy show up yesterday and pay off the bet. Rodney Hampton showed up and paid off the bet that we made. I had made a bet with a Saints fan a few years ago that they would not sweep the Falcons. He showed up at one of our station parties, and to pay off the bet, I had to take a picture in a Saints jersey, which now every time the Saints do something, here's Falcons sideline reporter John Michaels in a Saints jersey. I was like, dude, it was cool like 5 years ago to do it. Now you're just kind of being a jerk.
He still does it?
Not too much now, because they haven't beaten us in a long time, so what is he going to do?
I don't even want to go down the what-if road for Sunday. So let's move on with our game here. Uh-huh. What do you hate more, John Michaels, the Saints or Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
Really? So we finally found something that he hates more than the Saints. Mark Owens, mark that down. Notre Dame hated more than the Saints.
Their claim to fame is a bootleg T-shirt about our school. They got a 30 for 30 off of our school. I hate Notre Dame. That's why we put 41 on those clowns this year. Overrated bunch of you-know-what.
All right, join us on the phone on the 404-741-0929. Let me say that again. Microphone was a little too close to my mouth. M.O., sorry about that. 404-741-0929. We want you to call and get some Saints hate on here as well. M.O. will take your call back in the Kia Studios. All right, John, who do you hate more, the Saints or the Seminoles?
Seminoles. It's not even close.
Okay.
Okay, that's been a 40-year rival. 40. I've only been in Atlanta 20 years. There's no doubt about it. It's the Seminoles.
All right, John.
Just think about it for a second, Rick. What was my year going up to October 7th? It pointed to one thing. And since that point, I've been a pretty happy guy.
Until you guys lost to Clemson. But the Pittsburgh lost.
Yeah, the Pitt game, I was mad. But you know what? It's been a really good year, and that's because I don't have to hear. Those people have all disappeared. Seminole fans are in a closet somewhere. They're waiting to pop back out when they're good again.
All right, John, we're playing a little game here. Who does John Michaels hate more as we drum up some Saints hate? Call M.O. 404-741-0929. John,
I'm going to give some of these back to you as well.
John, what do you hate more, the Saints or Al Golden?
Really?
Here we go, preacher man.
Really?
Here we go.
This isn't fair. It's fat and sweaty tie guy. I wanted to go tackle him in Detroit. Like, he's the tight end coach for the Lions. I wanted to go hit him.
All right, what's your answer?
It's Al Golden.
Okay, all right. So there's three. Notre Dame, Florida State, and Al Golden. All right, John, what do you hate more, the Saints or country music?
The Saints. Country music's never done anything to me.
Okay, I thought there'd be a different answer to that.
Dude, I had to sit down there and watch them put Drew Brees back in a game or let him throw a touchdown late in a football game to break a record as they rubbed it in. You also have to understand, I go home to Saints fan. She was talking trash to me Monday night because we only won by 3 points. And I told her, I said, didn't we just beat your crap team a couple of days ago? Yeah, but it won't matter when you're down in New Orleans. Be quiet.
All right.
We'll sleep on the couch tonight.
Jeff Benedict, host extraordinaire on 92.9 The Game, still here hanging with Rick and John at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. He's on vacation and apparently nothing better to do. All right, John, what do you hate more, the Saints or ranch dressing?
The Saints. I've actually had ranch dressing before. I don't particularly care for it. I don't want to, like, if I ever have to, you know, voluntarily wear something Saints, I don't even think it's close.
All right, John, a couple more for you here. What do you hate more, the Saints or pooping at Mike Conti's house?
Mike Conti's house. I'm just not going to do it.
Okay.
I have my morals, and Mike Conti's house was off limits. His house was way too nice. Like, everything was clean. I felt bad because Mike, like, every time somebody set down something, he was cleaning up behind him. I said, dude, it's a house party. Let it get wild in here.
Well, that's a man who has no kids.
True.
Now, they have dogs. I mean, their dogs are great, but they have no kids, so they don't understand what it's like to live in a house where kids make a mess. And finally, you get to the point where you're like, yeah, screw it. I'm not cleaning that up
dude,
right now.
My house, I wait till the next day, and I go, God, my friends are slobs. Like, why are there 73 red Solo cups out, and there were 11 people here? Like, take your cup and keep it. You can reuse it.
I got two more for you.
All right.
Saints or Twitter trolls? Who do you hate more?
Saints. Because Twitter, you know what? They're usually hand in hand. So push. Because they're usually both the same people.
Who do you hate more, John? The Saints or taxes?
Dude, taxes. Come on. Taxes are ridiculous. I look at my check every week and I go, I should have so much more money.
All right, so these are the things that John hates more than the New Orleans Saints. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the Florida State Seminoles,
yep.
Al Golden,
uh-huh.
Pooping at Mike Conti's house,
yep.
And taxes.
Yeah, and those,
that's it.
Those are all like death.
Yeah. And I had death written down here too, but I'm guessing
I'd
you
go
hate
with the Saints.
Death more than
nah,
the Saints.
Yeah, death's inevitable. So is beating the Saints. All right, I'm going to play a couple with Rick. What do you hate more, the New Orleans Saints or Creed?
Creed.
No, Creed. You should ask him, what do you hate more, the New Orleans Saints or singing Creed?
Singing Creed.
Yeah.
Yeah, singing Creed, for sure.
What do you hate more, the Saints or doing the morning show?
Wow. Wow. Bullseye. Oh, God. Well, doing the morning show got me paid, and it got me into radio, and it got me the gig I have right now. So, Saints, John.
All right. We got two more here that we'll get to. What do you hate more, the Saints or the Packers?
Oh, Packers. It's Packers.
Okay.
I came out of Ginger's womb way back in 1969 hating the Packers. It was like that.
All right.
And I love that my food came here before you guys. Hey, here's the 18 naked wings for Paul Bible.
Two more quick ones. What do you hate more, the Saints or the Badgers?
The Badgers. The Badgers. You ask me this. Who do I hate more, the Saints or Alex Hornibrook?
Alex Hornibrook.
Alex Hornibrook.
Last one. What do you hate more, the Saints or blue cheese crumble on your salad?
Blue cheese crumble on the salad. There's no blue cheese on there, is there?
Nope.
I don't see any blue cheese on there. I see just a beautiful salad that I'm about to pounce upon.
All right, let's get a couple of calls here.
Let's do it.
404-741-0929. Sean Thompson texted and said he's lying. He hates mornings more.
Smooth shout. Hey, Sean Thompson, Terry Fox, McAfee, thank you for not firing me.
Hey, let's go to Scott on line one on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Scott, let's get some hate going for the New Orleans Saints. What's up?
Man, it has been it's such a long, ugly rivalry. I hate that team more than any other team in any other sport. I mean, I remember the old Vic days when Aaron Brooks was the Saints quarterback, and, you know, it was awful. You know, I hated that rivalry. I hated how Saints fans used to show out like they did, and now I'm fortunate enough, I won't say in what capacity, but I'm on the field for home games, and it is I had a little exchange with Sean Payton, you know, very brief, but you know, he was cussing at our fans walking down the tunnel and all that, so it was that kind of fueled that fire for me.
Really? Cussing out fans.
Yeah,
very interesting.
Maybe we apologize for that one.
Maybe we should launch an investigation into Sean Payton. I'm still kind of a fan of Sean Payton.
Want to take another call or two?
Let's do it. Yeah, for sure.
Let's go to JJ on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. JJ, how you doing?
Three things. One, the caller before me, Sean Payton is a bum. Number two, Willie Snead, go get a haircut, dude. Number three, PSA to all Atlanta fans, if you see someone wearing gold and black, say something, man. They don't need to be wearing that in our city. Thanks, guys.
Love it. He took a shot at Willie Snead's hair.
I don't condone going up
some
like
weird hair.
Physical violence on New Orleans fans. We don't want any of that. But you can absolutely talk trash. Just walk by and hold up three, because I think they can count that high. They can actually get to three, and that's how many times we've beaten him in a row. We got one more.
Yeah, we got one more call.
We do. Let's go to Speedy on line five on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Speedy, what's up?
John, what's up, man?
This
is why we ran them tall sweets in National, man.
Yes, sir. What's going
on,
sir?
It's me. Hey, man, I can't stand the Saints, man. Never liked them.
Why not?
No, I'm a Georgia native, man. You know, this been for years, man. Years of hate. I was 5 years old being a Falcon fan from Fulton County Stadium. You know what I'm saying? The hate is real.
Hey, Speedy.
Yeah.
The hate is real, man, for sure. Hey, Speedy, so you go back with John on a flag football tip, right?
What I want you
to do is, Speedy, give us a story of John Michaels melting down and freaking out competitively at a flag football game, please.
Oh, man, I can't tell you, but that tall sweet we ran, he tore his Achilles twice. Man, Man, we had to go. We made it all the way to the finals, man. And he was in the hospital, man. But you know, he was a great competitor. great competitor. You know,
that's my dude, Speedy. Good to hear from you, man. We go way back, and his nickname, Speedy, he could fly.
So were you tossing the sweep to him, or was he tossing the sweep to you?
I was a pulling guard out in front of him. We ran toss sweep against his team from Milwaukee in the semifinals, and he followed me 80 yards down the field for a touchdown. I cleaned out a DB or two. I took out the corner and the safety.
Just ran him over?
And Speedy Richards, pew, gone.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, ran him over. You get 230 pounds at full speed, and you're about a buck 80, you're ending up in a parking lot somewhere. And don't forget, you can join 92.9 The Game tomorrow from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. It'll be the midday show, us live from 10 to 2. Stop by Twin Peaks in Buckhead and enjoy craveable man food like delicious burgers and wings. It's Twin Peaks Girls will serve you the coldest beer in Atlanta. Hang out with 92.9 The Game for lunch. We'll do an NFL bounce next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You thought you'd beat us, but your QB's old now. And Matt Ryan's not 0-3.
Oh, boy. They're going to ruin our Christmas. No presents under the tree with the Florida for anybody when we lose to the Falcons.
Oh, when the Saints are 0-3, we'll never be invited back for a celebration because your team is 0-3.
Wow. There you go.
John Michaels!
We're bouncing around the shield.
Let's go!
It's the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, my teeth are full of food as we come to you from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Absolutely destroying the buffalo chicken salad with no blue cheese crumbles, and it's sensational. The NFL Bounce brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Stop by and test drive their new 2017 Kia Sorento. And Haley stopped by a minute ago and provided, I think, John, some motivation for the Preacher Man. You see, the Preacher Man has 18 naked wings.
Uh-huh.
The Preacher Man is actually taking his time today, whereas last Friday he was like, I don't know.
He was
like
savage.
Like a hungry dog eating anything. That's what he was like last week. This week he's taking more of a methodical approach that Haley has taken attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And Haley just kind of
she called him out.
Kind of grinded him a minute ago.
She did. Like full-on grind.
Full-on.
You know what's funny? Paul last week looked like Mike Conti's dog, Clark, every time I would drop a piece of steak down. Paul was just like, argh! Today he is just slowly making sure every morsel of meat from the chicken is gone. He is systematically destroying the wings.
Dude, piranha in the Nile River could not clean off these wings any better than Paul Bible. So you should feel proud about that. You really should.
You could have been on River Monsters. We're searching for the elusive Preacher Man. He has been known to take an entire chicken off the bone in one bite. He is dangerous for humans if you land in the water. He has weapons like pistols, and he carries those underwater as well. I'm Jeremy Wade. Did you guys watch that show?
Who the hell is Jeremy Wade?
You never watched River Monsters?
Nah.
Dude, that is the
greatest.
I don't
watch TV, John.
That was the you don't watch movies either. But River Monsters was awesome. It made me realize that freshwater is just as dangerous as saltwater. I'm looking at some of these catfish. That's why I told you guys about the goonch catfish. That thing is nasty. Or the tiger fish, that thing is nasty.
Yeah, the goonch is your boy, for sure.
I've hung out with a goonch before.
All right, let's talk about some NFL headlines here in our NFL Bounce. And, John, this headline right here is driving me crazy. Steelers James still haunted by overturned touchdown. What? How are you still haunted? It was look, in common sense, a bad call. By the letter of the law, they got it right. How are you haunted by this? Move on, practice,
right,
and move on to the next
game.
It's
over.
It's going to haunt you? No, my friend. 28-3 is something that could haunt you,
mm-hmm,
okay? Catching a game-winning touchdown pass and having it ripped away by a stupid referee in that situation is not something to still be haunted by. Come on, man. Pull up your boots,
yep,
strap them on, mm-hmm, and move on with your life. Give me a break.
Well, especially not now. You're still trying to get the top seed in the AFC. You're going to most likely have a bye in the AFC playoffs. And then you're going to most likely play New England again somewhere down the line. You've got to do what Dan Quinn always tells our guys to do. Flush it out 24 hours and then flush it and move on to the next day.
No doubt.
Can't sit here and be haunted like you're a 10-year-old that's been to a house somewhere during Halloween. Like, you can't do that.
All right, so it says here that Seahawks linebacker Bobby Wagner says he regrets how he handled himself in response to comments made by Earl Thomas following their blowout loss to the Rams. Wagner called it a learning experience and a product of his emotions running hot after they were beaten 42-7. And by the way, I was wondering about this. It was their most lopsided win under Pete Carroll, 42-7. But Wagner took issue with Thomas telling reporters postgame that he didn't think Wagner should have played on his injured hamstring. In a tweet that he deleted moments later, Wagner told Thomas, "Keep my name out your mouth." Mm-hmm. John, is it just me, or do you love hearing strife in Seattle? And do you love hearing that Belichick and Brady are in a power struggle over Alex Guerrero, his famed trainer? I love that stuff.
I love it. I will say this, and I'm sure Earl Thomas was probably asked the question about Bobby Wagner, which is why he answered it. Don't talk about your teammates in a postgame. Just say next question. You know, there's no reason for you to say, hey, we could have been better without him, because you know what that's going to do? It's going to lead to hurt feeling. It's going to lead to people being angry at each other in a locker room. We understand the NFL is an emotional game. Emotions run high. You lose a game like that basically eliminates you from the division, of course you're going to be ticked off. Don't throw a teammate under the bus. I'm not mad at Bobby Wagner. I'm mad he deleted the tweet. Leave it up there. Keep my name out your mouth.
So there's a way to handle this, man. I know you're frustrated and your season's over and all that kind of stuff. But what you say is, man, Bobby gave us what he had today. You know, he was out there. He wasn't 100%. He gave us what he had today. He's my teammate. He's my brother. I'll go to war with him anytime. Next question. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all you say. It's player speak. He may not actually mean it, but that's the card you got to play right there for sure.
Hey, some other notes from around the NFL as we continue our NFL bounce here. Brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Legatron is now out for the year for the Los Angeles Rams. That might be the best nickname in the NFL, Legatron. That's Greg Zuerlein for those keeping score at home. Back injury, he's done for the year. They've signed Sam Ficken to replace him. Greg Zuerlein's one of those guys you knew from about 57 in. It was almost automatic. That kid had a cannon to kick the football with.
In fantasy football, I want you to check and see if Harrison Butker of the Chiefs is available. Butker got off to a great start with the Chiefs, and then through no fault of his own, their offense went in the tank. Had several dud weeks in a row. He may have been dropped. I would look into him. I know nothing about this kicker that the Rams will now have for Zuerlein, but certainly the opportunities will be there. Maybe it's as simple as picking him back up. John, this is what's up with the Rams. They have the best special teams in football. I believe their punter made the Pro Bowl.
He did.
Zuerlein was a Pro Bowler. And Farrell Cooper, their return guy, I believe is a Pro Bowler as well. But Farrell Cooper is unstoppable. I don't know if you were able to watch the Rams-Seattle game. He was two first downs every time he touched the rock, whether it was a punt return or a kick return. So the Rams' best special teams in football takes a major hit with Zuerlein being out.
And that's something that we've talked about with the Falcons, and we love Keith Armstrong as a special teams coach. There's been a lot of breakdowns this year in coverage. Guys getting the ball at the 35 and 40-yard line. That's a you're two first downs from being in field goal range when you give up those kind of returns. Something that needs to be worked on. Matt Bryant's obviously been great. Bosher's had a good year, not a great year to Matt Bosher's standards. And Andre Roberts actually is one of the top kick returners. It's been the coverage units that have really suffered.
I was just going to ask you about Andre Roberts, and I think he's been okay.
Yeah.
I'd grade him probably a B. You know, there have been a couple of decisions, you know, to bring it out and stuff like that that I haven't agreed with. But, look, the guy gets the rock three, four, five times a game. He wants to run it out. I'm really not mad at a return. That's what they get paid to do, is return the rock. So sometimes it blows up in your face, a la our boy Eric Weems in the Super Bowl. That was not a wise decision.
Nevertheless,
that's a hit to the Rams, a big-time hit to the Rams.
We talked about this earlier, but I want to bring it back up. Sean Payton, here's the quote he said. He said, listen, the mistake I made was letting my emotions get the best of me. And this is talking about the choke gesture he made towards Devontae Freeman. It's the same thing that we talk about with our players all the time. It wasn't good, and I felt like as the game went on, it affected me in play calling. I've got to be better that way. It was frustrating from some of the officiating, but you learn even when you've been in this for as long as I have. It's something that you regret and you look back on. What are you doing? So I think the thing that bugged me was that for the better part of the week.
So he does that, and I'm sure John immediately after he's like, you know when you just know you screwed up and you know you did something wrong, and it was in the heat of the moment, like maybe you'll be quarreling with, you know, your spouse and you know, she takes you there and you say something and, you know, the whole thing. So I get it. I get where it comes from. I get how it happened. But I do like Sean Payton. Sean Payton could have played the complete jerk card. Uh-huh. I don't regret a thing. I'm fine with it. But he's done some serious self-evaluation, John, looking in the mirror and saying, that's not even close to good enough. And for him to admit that, and by the way, it wasn't just the choke gesture on Devontae Freeman. It was perceived bad calls against him that contributed to him unraveling. But I think it's a good look for Sean Payton that he's kind of telling the whole world, yo, y'all, I screwed up. I'm going to be better. I can't be mad at him anymore.
Mark, we may have to save this one for the New Year's because I think we all, well, none of us work together after tomorrow. We're all like off on different days next week. But in the New Year, when's the last time you knew you messed up? Put that down for a slice of life. When's the last time you knew that you had messed up?
Like Sean Payton giving the choke gesture to Devontae.
When underboss said, hey, man, you'd be interested in working middays?
Wow. To me or to you?
Sorry, too soon? Too soon?
That maybe. We can hear you.
Not soon enough. You've had this gig for like 3 years, right? I mean, how long has it been?
And every time I try to, 5 years from the beginning with you knuckleheads for 2.5. Every time I try to, you pull me right back in with your innuendo and your research material.
Nothing wrong with that.
We will not apologize about that.
No, I will agree with a lot of what you say with Sean Payton. It is refreshing to hear a guy, whether it's a coach or a player, to say, you know what, I did it, my bad. How many players go, oh, you know, because remember his cockamamie excuse afterwards. He goes, I don't remember doing that. Next question. Really? You don't remember it? Well, I hate to tell you, there's like 7,000 cameras in Mercedes-Benz Stadium that caught you giving the choke sign.
No doubt, man. We're Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, and the scenery is fantastic.
And Preacher Man's wings, he's down to 2.
Way to go, Preacher
Man. In 14 minutes, he's polished off 16 wings. Now he's turned bright red.
Are you full?
And he's sweating a little bit over there.
Are you going to make it?
He doesn't even want to put his microphone back on.
You got 2 left. No, he's not even bringing his microphone down. No. Bo, just leave him turned off. He's fine. He's fine. Just keep your fingers away from his mouth. You might lose a digit right now. And by the way, we got to get Haley over here because, Haley, Paul Bible is winning. Wings almost done. Haley doesn't look like she really wants to contribute with the party.
She's not really concerned. I thought that was Dukes
she's busy
walking
making
in.
Money.
I thought Dukes walked in. I said, this is the earliest Dukes has ever been to work.
Wow. Pew, pew, pew. Shot.
It's 12:30. They get there at 1.
I love it, dude. I love it. All right, elsewhere in our NFL bounces, we continue here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Let's give the people some fantasy nuggets who are going to the championship game. Here's what you need to know. The Jacksonville Jaguars might get Allen Hurns back. They might get Leonard Fournette back. Marquise Lee got hurt with an ankle injury last week. I bring it up, you like Jacksonville receivers. Well, Keelan Cole almost got us to the championship game of the Falcons Coca-Cola League. Mm-hmm. And so that is a fantasy situation to watch big time because the Jacksonville Jaguars have the 49ers this week. So I think Keelan Cole is still going to be a play. I would not play Hurns in his first game back. And Leonard.
Keelan Cole is a good play?
I do.
Okay.
I like Keelan Cole.
Cole or Marquise Goodwin?
I like Keelan Cole. I like Keelan Cole. I know Goodwin's been vibing with Garoppolo.
Yeah.
The Jaguars have the best set of cornerbacks in football when you consider Boye and then, of course, Jalen Ramsey. And Ramsey's going to be shadowing Marquise Goodwin. I would rather have – and by the way, most people don't know about Keelan Cole. This guy's electric. He is electric, and he's totally locked in with Bortles right now.
I think he went to Kentucky Wesleyan.
Yeah, he's one of those small college guys.
Like, I don't even know where that school is on a map. I'm assuming it's in Kentucky. It's called Kentucky Wesleyan.
Can you believe that the Cincinnati Bengals, I mean, there's so much turmoil, Marvin Lewis on the way out. Doesn't it seem like 2 months ago that the Bengals and the Steelers engaged in that war for the ages in terms of cheap shots and stuff like that? Well, Joe Mixon and Vontaze Burfict have just returned to practice.
Nice. Good for them.
I'm just saying, doesn't it seem like it took them a minute, didn't
it?
Man, the Steelers turned out the lights on those guys.
Well, and Marvin Lewis, that'll be the end for him. That'll be an interesting hire. There is talent in Cincinnati.
Here's some biggie for you, huh?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. A little one more chance. We got one more chance at Paul Bible. You know what? Coming up next in From the Bible, there will be an extensive story about Preacher Man and the caloric intake he just had.
And is he going to talk a little junk to Haley, too?
He probably is.
A little trash talk?
A trash talk to one of the Twin Peaks women. And we'll have research material. That's all next live here for Twin Peaks in Kennesaw on Sports Radio 92.9.
Yeah, y'all. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Your boys, Rick and John, throwing our midday party from a party spot. It's Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come on up here and have lunch with us. We have all just finished our food. Preacher Man knocked down all 18 naked wings. I killed the buffalo chicken salad without blue cheese crumbles. John took care of his wings. Garlic Parmesan, I believe, is what he went with. But join us, 2475 George Busby Parkway Northwest. Sounds like an old Hall of Fame baseball player, doesn't it? Anyway, that's where we're at, I-75 North and Barrett Parkway.
How nerdy am I that some guy on eBay for $2 had a lot of, like, 50 University of Miami football cards, like guys that were rookies in the NFL, and I bought it? Urania saw that come in yesterday and goes, what is that?
How much?
$2.
How much?
Two.
For the whole thing?
How much was shipping?
$1.
There you go.
It was, you spent $3.
Yeah. She just looked and was like, you're kind of a dork.
So it wasn't a price tag thing. It was a you've got problems thing.
Yeah, there were two cards in there I wanted. There was a Cortez Kennedy rookie card and an Edgerrin James rookie card.
All right, we're going to get into this huge breaking news at the top of the hour. But I want to drop on everybody before we go over to Paul Bible that Dan Quinn says Tevin Coleman has cleared the concussion protocol. So Tevin Coleman has cleared the concussion protocol. I presume that means he will play against the Saints. So we'll talk more about that at the top of the hour.
Preacher Man has cleared the wing protocol, so it's now time.
I cleared my plate. But as we all know, From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4-FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing. Your boy, Ricky, Tim Donaghy, the former NBA ref.
Donaghy is a swear word in our NBA circles.
Well, you'll be happy about this story.
Okay, what do you got?
He was arrested in Florida on Tuesday for allegedly threatening a man with a hammer.
What?
Yes, but he told police the only reason he was even in that situation was to save his daughter. According to the report, Tim believed his daughter was doing drugs with a friend at a nearby home, so he grabbed a hammer and went to get her. Now, while he was outside arguing with his daughter, another man came out and confronted him. Now, the man that confronted him was her daughter's friend's father. The man claims Tim brandished the hammer and threatened to use it if he came any closer. Police were called, and he was arrested for aggravated assault.
Donaghy was arrested.
Yes, sir.
All right. You know who's the happiest about this arrest? Not the the potential victim here.
The Lakers?
Or victims. The Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
Because, of course, Donaghy was, you know, he had the point-shaving thing with the mob going on and all that. And if you remember in 2002, the Kings, that was the year they were going to beat the Lakers.
They were going to win the title.
They were going to win. They're one of the best non-title winning teams ever. When you consider, think about this, Hedo Turkoglu and Gerald Wallace, who went on to be very, very good players in their own right, barely played on that team. They were young bucks, barely in the rotation. You had Weber, you had Divac, you had Bibby, you had White Chocolate, you had... Why am I blanking on some? Peja Stojakovic. What a team.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're like, yeah, Donaghy, throw him in jail.
Your boy Bobby Jackson, too.
Bobby Jackson. Yeah. I love Bobby Jackson with the high socks.
Didn't they have Brad Miller?
I don't believe at that time they had Brad Miller.
I know they had Vlade Divac.
Yeah, they did. Or Vlade Divac, however you want to say it. But they had my man C-Web.
Yeah.
At the height of his
game. I heard he's got like 42-inch hands.
Oh, his hands are monstrous.
Yeah.
They're monstrous. He's doing a good job hosting on the Players Only bit on NBA TV on Tuesdays. Shout out to Chris Webber.
What else we got, Preacher Man?
Well, it is the season, and the Rams are doing it big time. They surprised a homeless family for the holidays with a furnished apartment.
Nice.
Tavon Austin and Robert Quinn wanted to do something extra special for the holidays, so they teamed up with the LA Family Housing Charity to find a well-deserving family. The lucky recipient was Shawna Cox and her six children. Who lost their belongings in the wildfires. Ms. Cox is an employee at USC but was having trouble getting back on her feet. Not only did Austin and Quinn put a roof over their heads, the Rams hooked them up with a new crib and a Christmas tree and presents underneath it.
I'm going to tell you, there, you know, stuff like that doesn't get talked enough about enough in the NFL or in sports in general. You see these guys and they're gladiators and they're out there knocking heads. And you know, are there a few bad apples? Absolutely. There's a lot more of that goes on that gets unnoticed by the national media than it should be. And you know, they don't have to do this. They can, you know what, I sit at home on my million-dollar pad and don't think about it. These guys also realize they're very fortunate. Guys like Tavon Austin go out and give back. And think about what that means to those kids who probably had everything they have completely gone. And now, you know, worrying, not even worrying about Christmas, worrying about where the heck am I going to lay my head at night. And for them to do that for that mother, that's really cool.
Two things. A, you wish that more hardship families could get hooked up like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that these guys need to take it upon themselves to buy everybody a new home. You just wish that more impacted people could be styled like this. And another thing, it made me think of Ben Garland. He's our Man of the Year candidate with the Atlanta Falcons. And they were talking on the broadcast. You probably already know this, John, but his number is 63, and he endeavors to do 63 community service every single year. So shout out to Ben Garland, man. I hope he wins Man of the Year.
Yeah, Captain Ben's a really, really good dude.
Absolutely. All right, so a high school kicker in Texas made history this week when she became the first female football player to score in a Texas high school state championship game.
Nice.
Her name is Lonnie Nava. She's a senior at Strawn High School. She converted 9 of 10 extra point attempts in her team's 78-42 win
to claim the
Class 1A six-man Division II state championship.
Oh, six-man. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So they're basically – it's tackle but flag. That's awesome,
though. Pretty cool, though.
Nine out of ten.
I'm mad at her for missing a PAT. Come on, man.
She cost you a fantasy championship.
Come on, man.
She?
I lost a game on that missed PAT. Plus, you know, John, that the stupid leagues that, like, subtract 2 points for a missed PAT, that's why we lost in the Falcons-Coke League. I'm just kidding, man. Good
for her.
You
know, in my league, it's minus 10 if you miss an extra point.
Give me a break.
Don't miss an extra point. Get a reliable kicker.
Dude, so Adam Vinatieri.
Too bad.
In the Bills game. They get a penalty that takes a 39-44. It's in a friggin' blizzard, and you're telling me he misses a 44-yard PAT in the snow with the wind blowing off the lake up there in Buffalo, and you minus 10?
Yep. It's minus 10.
Cockamamie.
Yeah, but you get plus 10 if you make a 50-plus yarder. Kickers can score.
Give me a break.
Why are you arguing with him? This is a guy that you and Knox had a debate about the rules and points in your college football
league.
Yet
they all loved it.
But who won?
None of us.
Who won the debate?
Oh, y'all did.
Me and Knox.
Yeah, exactly.
No, because I still kept it somewhat with the scoring.
No, but you acquiesced to some of their concerns.
Yeah, a little
bit.
They cried and whined.
I got to give this. Shout out to John Michaels because I did not think. You're a pretty stubborn dude. No, check that. You're an extraordinarily stubborn dude.
Yeah, ask my wife. She knows.
John Michaels would not even take a perfectly procured Kamla cocktail from me on Saturday at Conti's party because it had club soda in it.
I don't like club soda.
My wife took three. What are you talking about?
Well, your wife was.
I made like 25 of those joints for everybody. Not one person complained. But I'm just saying, kudos to you for listening to me and Knox and actually making a change. I thought you were going to be stubborn and dug in, and you weren't.
I'm actually going to tweak it some next year. The receivers scored way too much. Way too much. And it got to the point where, okay, if you had three good receivers, like I had the West Virginia receivers, I could win off of them and nothing else. Did you like the league, Bo? Did you have a good – Bo Johnson was in the league as well.
I had a good time, yeah.
You got off to what, like a 5-0 start?
I think I started 3-0, then I lost three. And then I ended up finishing like 6-5 or something like that right out of the playoffs.
I got to figure out next year how to add two more teams to the playoffs, or do you like it with just four?
How about this? We go from 10 to 12 and then from 4 to 6.
Okay.
With the playoff setup.
See if we can make that work. Do we kick anybody out to finish in last, Squidbilly?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. We all love Oren, but Oren told me he's in like 8 or 9 pro leagues, and so it didn't allow him any time to, you know, manicure his college team. So maybe we don't need to kick Oren out. Maybe Oren just needs to make the decision, yo, this college thing ain't for me.
Paul, I'll give it to Rick. Like, we finished the draft, and he texts me. He goes, post team's going to suck. And they did. They were one of the only win they had.
Did he take a lot of Florida players?
Yes.
He did, actually.
The only win he had.
There's something saying about being blind to your school. You know, you got to branch out.
You know, the only win he had was against Oren, who also had one win. Oren's only win was against Bo.
Give me a break.
Neither one of them won against anybody else.
All right, research material today comes from our guy, Chef. He hit us up on Rick and John 99 Twitter. Her name is Jennifer Orozco.
Not Jesse Orozco.
No, Jennifer.
But Jennifer Orozco.
All right.
We'll take a look at that. Well, there's families.
Orozco or Roscoe?
Orozco.
Okay, oh, okay. There's families in here, so we will not be as crude as we normally are. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. CBS says the Falcons will finish 10-6. They will finish 10-6.
She got bottom end like Pantera, John.
They will finish 10-6. Paul, there's people behind us. That's why I was computer down. CBS says we'll finish 10-6 and we'll be in the playoffs. Will you take that if you're a Falcons fan on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game?
All right, we come to you live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Tomorrow will be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. And we're going to have fun here in these last couple of segments, but I got to give a couple of shout-outs.
Let's do it.
Just met my man Casey Jones, and I'm like,
Wait a minute, from the Ninja Turtles?
Wait a minute, that's a Dead tune. Are you a big Dead fan? He's like, I like the Dead, but not like you, Rick. Also, we met Stewart, and my man Edward Jackson was just talking NBA with a fellow hoophead, Edward Jackson.
Yeah, you and him were getting into it about OKC,
yeah.
Breaking down what the
Thunder
are
going to
do.
He was asking me if he thinks it's going to work out, and I said no. And I think they are going to have to trade Paul George before the deadline because, John, you can't, you know, go 44-38
right.
and get bounced in the first round of the playoffs with Paul George
group.
And then let him walk
yeah.
in free agency and get nothing in return. So I think OKC is going to have to swallow hard, say it's a failed experiment, and move Paul George.
All right, we're going to ask a question right now. CBS Sports has their NFL predictions up here, and I want to get to this. They are saying the Atlanta Falcons will win a game and lose a game before the season is out, finish 10-6, but be the sixth seed in the playoffs. I want you guys to sound off on this, 404-741-0929. Are you okay with that as long as that 10-6 equals playoffs?
I'm okay with it. I mean, we're in the playoffs. So, John, there is a chance that we lose to the Saints and the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance. These are two quality teams. Two of the, what would you say, John? Two of the top six or seven teams in all of football right now are the Saints and the Panthers. And maybe I'm underestimating. Maybe they're two of the top five. I haven't done a power rankings. But there is a possibility that we lose both of these football games.
Mm-hmm.
You lose both of these football games, you, at that point, are probably not a playoff team. So I will take a split against New Orleans and Carolina to get to the playoffs. I would be content with that. I'm not really worried about the seed, John. I'm not, because, look, we're not going to be one or two. We know that. We know that we're not going to get a first-round bye. We know that now if we go bang-bang and win out, we'll be the three or four seed, host a game, all that kind of stuff. But I'm not worried about being the sixth seed and going on the road. It's not like it's never been done before.
Sure.
If a sixth seed had never, ever run the table in the NFL playoffs,
mm-hmm.
Like Baltimore did, like the Giants did, if it's never happened before, then I'd be like, I don't want to be the sixth seed. But I say bring on all comers as the sixth seed. I'm not worried about it.
So here's – I'm going to run down what they have, their projection in the NFC, and we'll get to the AFC as well. CBSSports.com has Eagles finishing 13-3, top seed in the NFC. Their remaining schedule is Oakland and Dallas. Dallas is a game that potentially could be that flexible Sunday night game on New Year's Eve. Do it, NFL.
Wait a minute.
Like, please do it.
Wait a minute.
Eagles, Cowboys.
Wait a minute. Sunday night football is Cowboys TV.
Yeah.
So Sunday night football is all about the Cowboys. It's not about the Patriots or the Steelers or – it's about the Cowboys. I actually kind of like your chances now of maybe not having that.
The only Saints, issue with that.
That Panthers-Falcons game on New Year's Eve.
If Panthers-Falcons for the NFC South, I think they're going to put the game for the division title on the line.
You're making a great point, but what if Dallas wins and they're in the playoffs?
I mean, you're making a great point, you know, as well.
I'm on to Sunday Night Football, bro. They would have the Cowboys on every week if they could. Because what does the Cowboys bring to networks?
Eyes.
Ratings.
They do. People put their eyes on the television set.
No matter what, love or hate.
They have the Minnesota Vikings as the number two seed, 13-3. The remaining schedule, pretty easy for the Vikings. Green Bay minus Aaron Rodgers and Chicago, who has shut it down months ago.
That should be WW.
Okay. They have the third seed now, and the winner of the NFC West, the Los Angeles, don't call us St. Louis Rams any longer. Their remaining schedule, one of them could really put a hamper on what Paul Bible's Tennessee Titans want to do. They play them on the road this weekend, do the Rams, then they close out against 4-10 San Francisco. They have the Rams finishing 12-4
yeah.
with the three seed.
Yeah, I agree.
They have the New Orleans Saints in this scenario winning out, finishing 12-4 as the NFC South champion. According to CBS, the Saints have a 64% chance to win the division, followed by the Panthers and then the Falcons. They can wrap up the division as early as this week if they beat the Falcons and the Panthers lose to the Buccaneers.
Who do the Saints have after us in Week 17?
Tampa Bay.
Where?
On the road.
It's at Tampa?
Yep.
That has been a really tricky place to play for the New Orleans Saints, for most teams, but particularly the Saints. I remember a lot of bad Drew Brees games.
Yeah.
Bo Johnson, am I right that Drew Brees has struggled at Tampa Bay, that is not a place that he just goes and does what he wants? I don't think New Orleans is a lock to win out. I really don't. And if Tampa Bay, John, brings the Thunder like mm-hmm. they did against us on Monday Night Football, they might even be able to beat the Saints.
They have the five seed right now, the Carolina Panthers at 11-5. They have them beating Tampa this week, losing to Atlanta in the season finale. Mm. That would set up a Saints-Panthers opening round matchup in the NFC playoffs, which would be in New Orleans, which would be the end of Carolina. I think New Orleans would blow doors off the Panthers, much like they did twice this regular season.
Blow doors?
They beat them pretty handily both games this season.
Yeah, this is a playoff game, though. Do the Saints and Panthers have one more against each other?
No, they've already played two. New Orleans.
Is it 1-1?
No, New Orleans swept them.
Really?
Yeah, pretty easily. Blew them out in Carolina and then beat them fairly handily down in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago.
Am I right that New Orleans lost their first two and then went to Carolina and then got their first win? All right. So, yeah, I take that back. But I don't take back that. I think Carolina could still beat New Orleans down there in a playoff game, but I didn't know it was 2-0.
Here's what they say about our Falcons. 10-6, wild card. Good news for the Falcons, they control their own playoff fate. To earn a postseason spot, all they have to do is win one of their final two games. Of course, there's always some bad news, and the news is they have the hardest remaining schedule in the NFL. So winning just one of the final two won't be easy. We're projecting the Falcons here because there's a good chance the Panthers won't have anything to play for in Week 17, which means Carolina could decide to rest some of their starters. Tiebreakers, they say, in our projection, Eagles get the top seed over the Vikings based on winning percentage, but the interesting one is the Falcons get the final wild card spot over Dallas and Detroit because they have both of them finishing 10-6 because the Falcons won head-to-head over both teams during the regular season.
I'm kind of struggling with Carolina not having anything to play for in Week 17. So if the Saints beat us, they win the NFC South, correct?
Not necessarily.
I thought that was a lock.
No, they win the NFC South if Carolina also loses.
So they need to win and get a Carolina loss.
Right.
Okay, well, then that even lends to my point even more. I don't understand. Present to me a scenario where Carolina can bench Cam Newton in Week 17.
You play 8:25. The Saints play at 1 o'clock against Tampa. They've already won both their games. They're 12-4. Carolina can't win the division.
So it would have to come down to that last day, and it's sort of a game
or
day decision.
Or the other decision is Carolina loses to Tampa this week. New Orleans wins. The Saints will have already locked up the division by virtue of wins, and then Carolina's in the playoffs, but has nothing to play for.
Now, does Carolina, even in the playoffs with nothing to play for in terms of changing their seeding, are they like, we don't like them dudes to the west of us in Atlanta? And do they come in here and try to rivalry it up and knock us out of the playoffs?
Could that
scenario present itself?
Could it? Yes. What's more important going into the playoffs? Beating the Falcons or having your team healthy?
I mean, for the rivalry at all, I don't know.
So
you're right, John.
Yeah, you don't beat the Falcons if Christian McCaffrey tears up his knee in a meaningless game today.
Don't say that.
I'm just saying, I do too. I don't want anybody to be hurt, but that's the scenario.
Well, Tom Brady,
Take a couple of calls. 404-741-0929.
It would not break my heart.
It also doubles as our
went down.
Solomon Brothers
doubled
Diamond
over in
text
pain.
Line. Would you take 10-6, meaning lose a game, win a game, but make the playoffs? Are you satisfied with that? Our buddy Jeremiah will lead us off here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jeremiah, how you doing?
Mayor, what do you say? Feliz Navidad. I know you're from South Florida. You speak a little Spanish, but I lived in Hialeah for a while, gentlemen. I'd like to see them win out. I think they'll win one of the two. As long as they get in the playoffs, you know what I mean. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Hey, Jeremiah, you still on there? All right. Let me just shout out Jeremiah. Jeremiah, we want to meet you. Mm-hmm. Come to Twin Peaks and Buckhead tomorrow. We'll be at Twin Peaks and Buckhead next Friday. Obviously, we're at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw right now, but I want to meet Jeremiah.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a great man. He has served our country. He's got, like, the voice of God times 10. We'd like to meet you, Jeremiah.
Here's what I'll say about this, Rick, and we haven't really answered it. I would not be as happy going 10-6. But being in the playoffs to me at this point is all that matters. And the reason I say that, whether you're the 3, the 4, the 5, or the 6 seed, you're still playing on wild card weekend. The difference of obviously 3 and 4 is you get the game at home as opposed to going on the road. Would you rather go on the road and play the Rams or be at home and potentially play the Saints again?
I'd rather be on the road. I would rather be on the road. I need our fans, the Rise Up Nation, to prove it to me. I need to see it to believe it. Mm-hmm. I need to be at my house. Cranked up TV, and I'm like, oh, my God. It is a thunderous roar coming through, the microphones that they have there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Rise Up Nation, I ain't down on you. Y'all can do what the heck you want to do. John is asking me about an advantage or not. Mm-hmm. Right now, there is no home field advantage in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Virtually none. there is in that our guys are at home.
Right.
It's familiar surroundings.
Sure.
They know the turf. They know the angles. They know the lighting. All of that. That is a home field advantage. That ain't going to get you over the hump in the playoffs. You need oomph from your fan base, and our Falcons just aren't getting it. I would rather see them on the road at the Coliseum against the Rams.
I would always rather be at home, always. I know this year you've played better on the road than you have at home. There's just something about home playoff games, potentially on a short week because you may play matter of fact, if you have a home game, I would bet dollars to donuts you play on Saturday because the national championship game is in the same stadium on Monday. They're not going to do the quick turnaround. So you're probably going to have the first game out of the box on Saturday if you have a home game. I know playing somebody three times, just say you played New Orleans or Carolina, you would have had to have just beaten them to play them again at home because you got to win out to have home field, obviously, in the playoffs. But I'd rather be at home. Wait till the second weekend to go to Philadelphia or Minnesota.
I'm not mad at your thinking at all there. And in terms of I'm trying to think ahead to what these wild card matchups would be. We can pretty much take New England and Pittsburgh out.
Yep.
They're probably going to be 1 and 2 in the AFC.
And most likely Philadelphia and Minnesota are going to be 1-2 in the NFC.
Right. So to me, okay, so then what's the sexiest game? John's right. That 4:30 game on Saturday is always the least sexy game of the four wild card games. And then Sunday, you get sort of maybe the third best game in the one window.
And the
4 o'clock game is either the best game of the weekend or it's that Saturday night game. I believe that Falcons, and you're right about if it's a home game, you got to get it out of the way before. I see a Saturday night game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in that scenario.
Yeah, if it's Falcons, Saints, or Falcons, Panthers, and those right now are the four teams, the Rams, Saints, Falcons, and Panthers that look like are going to be your wild card team. Obviously, Dallas could sneak back in. Detroit can sneak back in. Those are the only teams that are remaining. And Detroit's schedule lends them to winning out the rest of the game. They're at Cincy and home against Green Bay again without Aaron Rodgers. So the Aaron Rodgers not playing the rest of the year could actually hurt somebody like Dallas, could hurt somebody like Atlanta, because you would have thought Green Bay fighting against Detroit, maybe they knocked them out of the playoffs.
Well, think about this, too. With Aaron Rodgers, the Packers weren't able to do us a favor against Carolina because Rodgers was so out of rhythm and so under conditioned.
The other interesting one is the Eagles, would they rest their starters at the end or do they try to knock Dallas out, depending on the scenario in Week 17? Let's go back to the phones, 404-741-0929. Vincent, 10-6 and in the playoffs. Are you okay with that?
Man, I wonder, have you been watching the same games I've been watching with Panthers being the last game? Have you seen how the Falcons have been laying out players in the Saints game? In the Tampa Bay game, do you think the Panthers would try the chance to play their starters if they already had clinched a playoff berth? Because every time, you know, I hear Gruden or somebody say, we got a player down, I say, oh, I hope it's not number 11 on the offense. Oh, I hope it's not number 44 on the defense. But it's always the other guys. So do you think that the Panthers would risk starting their playing their starters on the last game, if they already clinched? And I want to listen to you. Fight me to Twin Peaks, fellas.
Come on, Vincent, come on out.
We're Kennesaw, man. I'll give you the address right now. It's John's favorite old baseball player, George Busby. We're at 2475 George Busby Parkway.
I have a second-year card.
Twin Peaks, you don't have the rookie card.
No,
huh?
I couldn't find the rookie.
His rookie card's worth, last I checked, $35,000,
wow.
John. Yeah,
it's the Honus Wagner card.
It's one or the other. He's making a lot of points, our caller that we just had, and we appreciate the love, dude. In terms of, he's right. They are bringing the wood. Carolina would look at that, like, we can't put our guys in harm's way. And, John, I'm with you. Like, common sense and looking ahead to the playoffs would win out over, hey, let's beat Atlanta and knock them out. But he mentioned 44, mm-hmm. and he mentioned 11. Like, we can't lose these guys.
Nope.
I would submit to you, John, that on defense, Keanu Neal, Desmond Trufant, Deion Jones, Devondre Campbell, I think, and maybe even Jarrett, all at this point more indispensable than Vic Beasley.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I'm just saying, we have edge rushers.
Well, being the tackle,
but those other guys, we don't have another guy like those guys. And I love Beasley. I'm not throwing shade. I'm just saying, I don't want to lose any of these guys, but I feel like we're deeper at edge rusher than these other spots.
Being the Tack McKinley only played 15 snaps against Tampa, there's snaps to be had.
Yep.
for edge rushers, and they're deep across the defensive line. Dan Quinn set it up that way. Hey, guys, if you got a chance, make it on out. Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, we're hanging out here until 2 o'clock. I just saw Carl Dukes in the building. Dukes and Bell will broadcast live from here after us from 2 to 7. Take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. 10-6 in the playoffs. Also, who do they project in the AFC playoffs? Could there be two teams from the AFC West? Really? Ew. Talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Mayor, what do you say about Feliz Navidad? I know you're from South Florida. You speak a little Spanish. But,
Speaking of charity, I was grilling her last night.
Was that with lemon pepper?
Actually, no. It was a rock salt rub.
I just need somewhere to poo.
Line of the week from John Michaels. It's a rivalry Thursday from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. And, John, we're going to take a couple of calls. I also want to check in with Mark Owens for an update on the final voting of my purple and orange Paisley party shirt yesterday, as we put that out on Twitter. Mike Conti just mentioned about Julio Jones not practicing yesterday. Julio Jones also either has missed or will miss today's practice. I'm not worried about Julio at all. They played on Monday night. I just believe this is maintenance. I believe this is all about getting Julio Jones as fresh and frisky as possible for the New Orleans Saints. And more good news, Kelsey Conway on Twitter reporting that Tevin Coleman fully cleared to participate. He has cleared the concussion protocol.
Yeah, that's a great thing because now you can have all of your offensive weapons against New Orleans. Let's be honest, New Orleans is going to have their offensive weapons. Alvin Kamara's back. We only saw him for less than a full series, and in that less than a full series, it was catches and it was runs and everything. We need Tevin. Now, the only thing I hope is they continue to feed Devontae the way they did against Tampa Bay. You're talking about 20-plus carries, 5 receptions. Knock that down to 18 carries. Or actually, you don't have to knock it down. Teron Ward got 8 touches or 9 touches against the New Orleans against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Give those to Tevin Coleman. Outside of that, don't mess with what worked with Devontae Freeman.
Haven't I been saying that for a little while? I'm not trying to throw shade on you at all, John. I'm just saying I'm a Devontae Freeman guy, man, and I'm a Tevin Coleman guy too, but Devontae Freeman is a better back. He's just a better back. So I think we are, and again, I love Tevin Coleman, but I believe that we're doing the opposition a bit of a favor every time Freeman's not on the field.
I agree.
So I'm with you, but we've been beating that drum for a while.
Got some calls left here at 404-741-0929. 10-6 is what CBS is saying about us, and make the playoffs. Let's go to Mike. Mike, are you okay with that, or you really want the division title?
John, you read my mind a few minutes ago. Now, this is contingent on the Rams being the 3 seed, taking care of business the last 2 games. I'm not afraid to go on the road and play them. Then that would make the 4-5 matchup Carolina and the Saints. Let them eliminate one or the other, and then we go into the second round and play one of them. Who wants to play Carolina or the Saints in the first round of the playoffs after we've just played division foes the last 6 weeks in a row? What are the likelihood of you beating the Saints all these times in a row? So that's my point. Who's afraid to go play a young Rams team on the road? Not me.
No, like I said to John, and again, respect the Rams, man. They have an MVP candidate in Todd Gurley who has 17 touchdowns. And to me, I think he's been the best player in pro football. Now, whether his resume equals MVP or not, I think he's been the most productive and game-changing player in football this year. Without Todd Gurley rocking like he's rocking, what are they, 500, maybe a game over? I mean, he's been that good for the L.A. Rams.
Yeah, I don't know. That is a good football team.
It is.
You know, their defense, you added a different defensive coordinator. They're even more aggressive. We already knew what Aaron Donald can do, Robert Quinn can do. That group gets after you. And, you know, Todd Gurley's a monster, no doubt about it. He's got to be in the running for MVP of this league this year. Jared Goff has gone from 0 to 100 real quick. I was wrong. I'll say it. A year ago, I thought he was doughy-bodied. I thought he was out of shape, and maybe he was. Part of it, he played for the nonsense that was Jeff Fisher. He looks like a completely different player right now, and the Rams look like they made the right choice picking him. I know Carson Wentz has had an MVP season, but the Rams haven't gone wrong is probably the best way to say it with Jared Goff. Wentz is better, but Goff's pretty damn good, too.
I agree and I disagree. I think you did swing and a miss. Wentz is better than Goff. And so you took Goff 1, Wentz went 2. I think you got a really good quarterback. You certainly got a guy who qualifies as the face of the franchise at the quarterback position, but he ain't Carson Wentz. They got a good one, but they didn't get Wentz. By the way, I just want to piggyback on the Kelsey Conway report because She said that Tevin Coleman has been cleared to fully participate.
Yeah.
Okay, D. Orlando Ledbetter of the AJC is reporting that Quinn said that Tevin Coleman had cleared the concussion protocol and would be available for Sunday's game with the Saints. So a little bit more clarity there with that report. And the fact that would be available for the Saints game, because, John, as you know, you clear the concussion protocol, but it seems like that's almost a guarantee that you will play, not a full guarantee that you will play.
And I want to go back to what Mike said. I am in favor of playing at home just because it's a home game. You don't want to have to travel three. Because if you're the sixth seed, you're not at home the rest of the year. You're on the road until either the Super Bowl or you get eliminated, one or the other. You'd like to have one home game. But I also don't particularly want to play a division foe. You're talking about New Orleans potentially 3 out of 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Carolina, three times in about a 7-week period. You'd like to avoid playing, and I'm sure Carolina and New Orleans want no parts of playing any one of the two of us the same way.
Here's what I like about the Rams matchup, and we'll get to George here in a second. We're asking you, CBS Sports is predicting 10-6 final record, but the sixth seed in the playoffs for the Falcons. I said, I'll take it. You get me into the party, I'll take it. Last year, one of the main reasons we lost the Super Bowl was inexperience relative to their experience. Mm-hmm. And I poo-pooed that leading up to the days of the Super Bowl. Oh, man, you know, we're talented. We got the best roster in football. We're going to go out there and prove it, blah, blah, blah. Well, you get to the Super Bowl, and the way that they were able to come back from 28-3 down, we made a bunch of mistakes, but they did everything right. And they did everything right, John, because they've been there before.
Yep.
The Rams haven't. We have. So I feel like we have the experience advantage in a head-to-head matchup, even on the road with the Rams.
Much like some of what you talked about here in Atlanta, L.A. does not have a home field advantage that's just going to scare the crap out of it. Going to New Orleans, it would be raucous. It'll be loud. It'll be crazy. Going to Carolina, it'll be raucous. Eh. It'll be raucouser than what you'll get in Los Angeles. Going to Minnesota, it's going to be loud.
Yeah.
Going to Philadelphia is going to be intimidating as heck. Going to Los Angeles, they're going to be like, hey, all right, we got playoff football. Let's go.
You know what they do in Los Angeles?
Party.
They go. Well, yeah.
Go to Beverly Hills.
They go, whose house? Rams house.
Mm-hmm.
Whose house? Rams house. It is the lamest chant in the history of the NFL. It's even worse than the wave, John.
What's worse, the whose house, Rams house, or the dun dun na 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 go pack go pum 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 dun na na na?
The latter. Let's go to George.
Let's go to George on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, George, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. I'd like to see the Atlanta Falcons beat the Saints and beat the Panthers just to prove to everybody that they're that good and that they deserve to be in the playoffs, and not only for the world but for themselves, get that confidence up there, because they're going to play against some tough teams. I mean you got the Eagles, you got the Patriots, and you know, so I think with us beating the Saints and beating the Panthers, I mean, who could stop us, you know?
I mean, I'm with George and John in terms of, you know, how like in fantasy football you get to, you know, about week 12 or 13 and you're like, okay, I've lost my last game of the year. There are no more losses.
Right.
Like, I can afford to lose. There are no more losses. Mm-hmm. Let's just pedal to the metal. Let's win every single game and just win out and run the table. That's where the Falcons are at. I just don't love their chances of getting both wins.
It's going to be hard-pressed, and we said that, 2 weeks ago, and we said we might have to win all four. Now, you've been helped by Seattle getting blown out where you don't have to win all four. One more win gets you in the playoffs. Doesn't matter what scenario plays out, you are in. You've afforded yourself that opportunity. To finish this stretch 4-0 is going to be tough. I think you'll win this week, though. I know New Orleans is a team that is really powerful, and their defense is better than they were the last 5-10 years. They run the ball with reckless abandon. I also think our Falcons are a rise-to-the-occasion challenge. The only time this year they haven't really risen to the occasion was in New England. That was a game that looked like, you know, the fog came in and the fog was over our football team on that Sunday night game. Played New Orleans. They played well defensively. We were able to do enough to win the football game. Played Minnesota. You know, I know you didn't win the game, but you hung tooth and nail with a team that's probably going to be the number two seed. Played Dallas. Blow doors off them. Go to Seattle. Played well. My point is, you're going to go to New Orleans, and they know what's on the line.
I hope the Falcons defense, with no Pro Bowlers, probably a couple of guys that were fringy, but no Pro Bowlers. The Saints rookie cornerback, Marcus Lattimore, is already
or
a
Marshawn
Pro Bowler.
Lattimore,
or Marshawn. I always call him the wrong name. Marshawn Lattimore is a Pro Bowler. Hopefully, the Trufants, the Alfords, the Beasleys, the Deion Jones are like, ah, hell no.
Right.
We're going to show them what's up. Now, let's go back to Mark Owens. On Twitter yesterday, it was a much-talked-about stud shirt for the Intercom, CBS Radio, V103, WOK, 92.9 The Game, Christmas/holiday party,
yeah,
yesterday. Anyway, what was the final verdict on the shirt?
All right, at Rick and John 929, if you haven't seen it, go give us a follow. So to vote on it, you had to hit like because you loved it, or you had to retweet it to say, no, I hate it. So the final vote's coming in, 34 retweets. So 34 people say, I'm not a fan. However, too shy of 100 likes. So it came over wildly popular.
Wow.
So I think most people liked it. Richard tweeted at us and said, hey, Tricky Ricky, I need a tablecloth for the office Christmas party. Can I borrow said shirt? And do want to give a shout-out
buy it for me.
To Zach Duncan, who posted a picture of him in his party shirt with the hashtag, every time I go out, you know I got to show out. So he's giving you some love as well.
That's awesome.
You're like,
gorgeous. That's a 74%. I've actually, my self-esteem's never been higher. 74% approval rating on
now,
the shirt.
Now all you need is the frosted tips to match the shirt.
Here we go.
You will be big in these streets.
Here we go. So what is the, have you ever had frosted tips, John?
No.
Not even back in your days with hair?
No. I had dreadlocks. I had braids.
Benedict is disagreeing. He thinks you did,
no,
in fact,
never.
Have.
Never once had for now. I bought a because my hair is completely straight before I got dreadlocks or before I had braids in my hair. I actually bought a perm and had my hair curly.
What, like,
yeah,
like Hubie Brown and,
yeah,
Mike Fratello and Jimmy Rogers back in the day,
yes,
with the man perm?
Something like that.
You had a man perm?
Yeah, something
hey,
like
Carl
that.
Dukes, did you know that John Michaels at one point rocked dreadlocks? I want to see John Michaels in dreadlocks. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, long time ago. Long, long time ago. Hey, don't forget, guys, you can join us tomorrow from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. It'll be the midday show. That's me, and that's Rick Camlin, the Preacher Man. Hi. And M.O. We'll be live from 10 to 2. Stop by Twin Peaks in Buckhead tomorrow and enjoy craveable man food like delicious burgers and wings. And the Twin Peaks girls will hook you up with the coldest beer in Atlanta. Hang out with 92.9 The Game before lunch tomorrow. We're at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw today. Rick Kambla, he's got to, you've got NBA TV, so you're out of here.
John, we're in Dahlonega, okay? I've got to get a head start and go make my gig at NBA
TV. What time
TV.
Do you need to be there?
I got to be, like, kind of on the air-ish at, like, 2:35. So
you probably should have left about an
I'm
hour
just messing
ago.
Around. Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, man. I will see you tomorrow, man.
All right, we'll see Rick Kambla tomorrow. When we get back from the breaks, we will read between the lines with the one and only Mark Owens.
Zeke shuts it down before he even gets started. Do what? We'll explain next and read between the lines.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
New Year's Day.
It's Dogs, Sooners.
First shot at the college football.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.